I thought you were going to get me some water. Talks about getting me some water, but doesn't get me some water.
Let's say everybody owned one of these trees. Now, if in the backyard we own these trees, would we spend hours a day scrutinizing the tree to see if it was budding? Would we make it the focal point of our day? Would we have total concern about this tree, what it was doing? Of course we wouldn't. An owner would be aware of the location of the tree, its level of health. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Its level of health and its progression of its growth. But these matters would not require all of its consuming efforts. The parable shows us here we should be aware of prophecy. We should keep an eye on what's happening in the world, but it does not require it to become our primary focus. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus illustrates this balanced view towards Bible prophecy. We must be aware of what's going on in the world. Some make a spiritually dangerous mistake of ignoring the lesson of this parable by making prophecy a major or sole focus that distracts them from the primary spiritual responsibilities. It is easier to focus on prophecy and world events than it is to give some scrutinies to the evils lurking in our corrupt human nature. Jeremiah 17:9 plainly reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" He definitely does not overlook the latter part of that scripture. As we go into eternity, questions in light of heaven, we should ask ourselves, what will last for eternity? Well, we know what will not last for eternity. Our cars, our houses, our degrees, our trophies, our money, our businesses. But let's ask ourselves, what will last for eternity? Service to the needy. Every dollar to feed the hungry. Every cup of cold water given to the thirsty. Even every investment in missionary services. Every prayer for the needy. Every effort invested in evangelism. The Bible says we'll reap in eternity what we've planted in this life. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says that. Do we remind ourselves that this world is not our home? That everything in it will burn, leaving behind only what's eternal? Everybody thinks that this is all there is to this life, and their investments are in everything from their money, their houses, their clothing, their thought process, their families. They act like this is the only life they're ever going to have, and they don't think of the internal destination that they will come and realize one day. Do I recognize my choices and my actions that have direct influence on the world to come? Do I realize that my life is being examined by God, the audience of one, and that the only appraisal of my life that will ultimately matter is His? Do I realize the fact that my ultimate home will be on the new earth where I will see God and serve Him for all eternity? These are focal points of what matters. As we see here, cares. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. So, why don't we look here at cares of this life? Cares of this life. Most people care about their selfish needs, their family, providing the pleasures, material, and this is all temporal. Take heed, beware of covetousness for a man's life. Luke 12:15. People are coveting, storing up treasures here on earth and not in heaven. And they care about nothing but worldly events. As a good example, I really don't care who won the Michigan football game yesterday. I don't care if it was Ohio State or Michigan. I really don't care. I don't mind watching the games and football and stuff like that. Sometimes I get a little wound up with the Lions, but
maybe they're a pro football team. But basically,
a lot of people get emotionally involved with sports and activities, and they're not getting emotionally involved with their salvation and emotionally involved with where they're going to spend eternity. And it's kind of sad to see that. I see a lot of that because people get wrapped up. Some people, get angry. They cry, and it's a sad thing. You know, they're really not spiritually grounded in any of that. Ecclesiastes 9:12 says, "Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come, as a fish caught in a cruel net or birds that are taken in a snare. So men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them," as we see here. You don't know when your time is up on earth. You don't know when the Lord is going to take you out of here. But it comes to you as a trap, like a bird getting trapped or a squirrel. You set a trap out and you find them stuck in it, and there's no escape of it. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come." Mark 4:19 says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness and wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him to come." Proverbs 23, if we can turn to that, turn to Proverbs 23, we're going to look at this. I'm going to get into, see if I can get there. This is a great passage. I love this one. It makes so much sense. Back in my day, when I was partying, not living for the Lord, and this passage, it's unbelievable how this is written. It makes so much sense. And to anybody that's like struggling with alcoholism or drugs, I mean, you just never hear this passage read or said at all. But it's just like it's a little hidden treasure, and it's Proverbs 23:29, and we're going to read that. And this is good, and we'll try to break it down a little bit the best we can. It says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." And this is my favorite part. I mean, this is really, it sums it up, what it's like the next day on a hangover when you tarry at this stuff here. It says, "At the last it biteth like a serpent." Isn't that the truth? You know, I watch the Animal Planet channel a lot, and I like watching all that stuff about how God made animals and what they do. And I don't like snakes at all. Pythons or cobras and stuff like that, but you know, they in slow motion they have these snakes like taking venom, or they're gonna bite their victim like a mouse or something like that, and you see the slow motion how their fangs come up like that, and it just gives me chills. But you see how it's slow motion attacks, and it sinks its teeth into the victim or whatever, and basically, you know, that's a horrible pain. that you're witnessing or you're going through. So when it says here, it biteth like a serpent, and I can't even imagine. I mean, you see what the serpent does and how it biteth, but it says, and it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. So basically what he's talking about here is when you go out and deluge yourself and you party and drink, you have perverse things come out of your mouth, which is ungodly. You're turned over to a different mind. You lust probably after strange women when you do so. And you feel no pain during that time period, but when the night is over, and it says, when you tarry too long at the wine, that they go seek mixed wine. No matter what you take or drink, the next day you feel like a truck hit you. And it's a horrible, horrible, horrible feeling. Because you're not yourself, you feel sick, it makes you sick. And what the Lord is saying here is not to be drunk in excess like that. Another one is a perfect example is, go to Corinthians. Let's see, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. I like this too. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So basically, what we're looking at here is to keep our focus as Christians every day and checking ourselves, examining ourselves. Are we reading our Bibles every day? Are we hitting the meetings every day? Are we studying with fellow believers? Are we watching who we hang around? Are we fellowshipping with brothers and sisters as opposed to evildoers out there of the world? It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which we have of God, and ye are not your own? We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's a heavy statement. We are bought with a price, and our body is not our own. We should sacrifice ourselves every day to the Lord. A lot of Christians I see out there fall away, and it's so easy to fall away. They get caught up in the concerns of how they're going to pay their mortgage, their bills, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, and they focus not on the Lord providing these things for them. There's a passage in Matthew that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we need to keep our focus on, is just trusting in God. I was talking to Heath this morning about that at the table, and a lot of people, they trust in their riches. Money is what it's all about down here. And when people have enough of it, they act like they don't need nothing more, especially when they have a cushion to sit upon. You think about all the rich people out there, they really don't need God, do they? If they've got $200,000-$400,000 in the bank or $1 million, they're set, you know, as the cliche says, set for life. But are they really set for life? You know, easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So they're really not set for life, but they look at it as set for life because that's what the world is based upon, is money. You know? If you have money, you have no worries. But the people that don't have money have a lot of worries. But it's just backwards how we look at stuff like that. You're not trusting in the Lord to see you through all your troubles and all your hardships. You know, I talked to Dan quite a bit about that. We talk, what are we going to do for work? You know, we kind of get stressed out once in a while or something like that because of the way the economy is, let's say, just here in Michigan and maybe not in other places. But you know what? We've been, you know, talking about that or whatever for the last couple of years, but we're still here. We still have our bills paid. We still have food every day. We still have our church. We still have the Lord. So really, the Lord is totally in charge, totally answering prayers, still providing for us. You know, I'm not saying it's good to get into any type of a debt, but if you're into debt, you know, you want to try to work towards getting out of debt and owing nobody. That's a good thing. But, you know, just trusting in the Lord, keep your focus on Him, and He'll see you through everything. You know, this life's too short. You know, people say, oh, you know, what are you going to do about go to college? They say to these young kids today that get out of school, you're going to go to college. What are you going to do? You're going to get an IRS or a CD and your 2-1-K and all that stuff. And they say, what are you going to do 40 years from now? You're going to get married. You're going to have kids. They're making these future plans, not the eternal plans. It's interesting. I was reading in the paper last week, an 18-year-old girl getting killed. Well, she was from Birmingham, getting in a car accident. I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, you know, she will not be getting married. She will not be having kids. She's not going to have a 401k. She's not going to have any college. You know, the time to get right with the Lord is today, because let tomorrow worry about itself. You know, another interesting thing is people like say, you know, what they're going to do tomorrow or next week, or, you know, just like they're planning on stuff, you know, down the road, and they're not even promised tomorrow. You know, they say, the commercial says about Beaumont Hospital, what is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is choosing what hospital you're going to die in. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Harriet, you know, bless her heart, I miss her. It was just her birthday last week. I was talking to Jill earlier about she would have been 82, but she's the one that talked to me about that, and we saw the same commercial like a couple years ago. But if that isn't a bunch of garbage, I don't know what is. They say the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is what hospital you're going to choose to prolong your death. I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to be your Savior and take you to heaven. And that is the most important decision you'll ever, ever make. And it's amazing how the media and the television, just how rotten it is nowadays, keeps the focus off of the Lord and has the focus on the earthly things of the earth here. That's all it is. They keep your mind. The devil is so clever, because not only in that, in television, I mean, the TV's probably the worst. Movies, he keeps your attention completely off the Lord and focuses on what you need and about you, and it's, everything's about me, and it's just the opposite. You know, do I really reflect on my own mortality? Do I realize that there are two destinations at the end of the day, heaven or hell, and that I and every person I know will go to one or the other? That's an important thought, isn't it? Every person you see has got to make a decision whether they like it or not. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell at the end of the day. Parable. Okay, I think I touched on, if I want to take a look at a passage in Matthew 6 when we were talking about cares of this world. This is interesting stuff. I think I touched a little bit on earlier, but touch on it again. 6:24. I like this passage. because a lot of people think that they're getting away with something and they're really not getting away with something. It says, 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. Right? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Skipping over to 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or whether with well shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. So basically, as we see here, the Lord provides everything for us, and we really stress ourselves out for no reason. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for us. I love that passage when he says that, because a lot of the times, you know, we just get so locked up in our jobs and worrying and stuff like that. And, you know, it's very unnecessary if you think about it. You know, you were really not, your focus is not on the Lord. Your focus is on yourself and your problems. And the Lord says here that he handles everything for us. We just got to trust in him and let him handle everything, you know. It's because I used to get stressed out myself just on everything. You know, my parents or this or that, and taking care of them and taking care of everybody and wanting to do everything and wanting to do 50,000 things at a time and getting, you know, worried. It just that's nonsense. That is nonsense. It really is. What's going to happen is going to happen. I've learned, you know. You know, my mom and dad are not going to live forever. You know, it's not going to be a big shock to say, you know, God forbid they were to die, but it's not going to be a shock. I can't prevent that. It's part of life, you know. You know, we are here just for a short time, and that's it. My sisters that live out of state, they try to do their best, but you're trying to prolong the inevitable. So, basically, what is a blessing as brothers and sisters in Christ is just being focused on the Lord, being around Christians, reading the Bible every day, keeping our focus on Jesus, having a church to go to like this. You know, you think about it, if we didn't have this, what would we have? We'd have nothing. We'd have the world. God forbid that. But we have a Bible study to come to on Wednesdays, which is very spiritual filled. And we have many blessings that we should be thankful for. And we have good preachers that come in here every week and come up here and preach God's word. And we get a lot out of it, and we are blessed to have that. And this church has been around many years by God's hand, and we thank him for that. And we want to encourage others to keep not only the faith, but to come to church. I was talking to Dan one time, is just like, You know, we don't invite people out, you know, like my neighbors, you know, I really don't talk to my neighbors too much because I don't know, I think they know that I'm a Christian and they don't want nothing to do with me, but you know, I should, I try to break the ice a little bit, invite them out to church, pass a tract out, you know, because you know, if you think about it, these people that are lost, they're really lost. And if they die without the Lord, they're not gonna go to heaven, they're gonna go to hell. And it's our job as Christians to spread this word out. You know, I need to do that a lot more in my life and, you know, and just encourage others to do it as well. But because straight is the gate. This is what I like, this passage on 7:13 in Matthew. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereof. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. You know, I always took this passage, if you guys can take this in as an example, is Los Angeles, California. You guys know how bad the traffic is out there. Just everybody, millions of people are on one road. Well, I kind of look at it as that type of a analogy of it, is they're on that destruction, you know. And few are on the narrow way that leads to life, and few be there that find it. So as we look at that, we just see how lost many are out there in the world that need Jesus. And if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior today, you need to do that. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says that. He is the way. The only way to God is through Jesus. He is the truth. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He's the truth. And He is the way. As we look at this passage here, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So He is the way, and that is it. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. And that's why it is important not only to know that, but to tell our family and our friends the same thing. But there are people out there that feel that there's other ways to heaven besides Jesus, and they are in some deep waters when they find out that they are wrong. So as we look at these chapters, as we look at the scripture, the basis of this message as Christians is to keep focused, keep alert, be aware of what's going on, and encourage one another, you know, with phone calls. Jean Winteringham's really good with that. She calls a lot of people up, and you've motivated me to call more people and just check on them. That's a good thing, you know. And not just saying it, because I'm still trying to get together, go to see Bill Skillen and check on John. But that's important things, because if they don't have us, they don't have nobody. So we need to keep at it and keep our focus on the Lord. So I'm going to close now, and I thank you for this message, and I thank you for this day that we've had here. Lord, I'll close now. Lord, thank you for this church that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for the people in this building today, Lord. I love every one of them, Lord, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give us down here, Lord, and guide us. And just pray this message has pricked people's hearts, Lord, to be aware of their surroundings and as their redemption draws nigh, Lord, just to be ready and not caught in a snare. I thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask for blessings on all the people that are sick now, Lord. Bill Skillen and John Gerhardt and Dan's mother, Virginia, and John and Mike Lauer, need prayer. And all the people that are struggling with drug and alcohol addictions, Lord, please keep on them. And I pray for my brother Pat, pray for my mom and my dad, Lord. And just we give thanks to you for all your blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you today. Amen.